Dave, we need to talk.
Hey, guys. Can you hear it? The sound of Christmas is in the air.
Ah, to hell with Christmas. This is a disaster.
Oh, come on, Mike. I promoted you to event coordinator because you're so great at multitasking and handling stress. What could possibly be going wrong?
Oh, you mean since you decided, out of the blue, to rent the store out for parties and events and God knows what else? I don't know. Jackie, Ryan, do you want to answer this question?
Well, for starters, the Beatles cover band we got for that wedding is saying they'll only perform Octopus's Garden and not All You Need Is Love.
And that school Christmas recital Mike booked is on the same day as the porno shoot. And both are refusing to give up the stage, which, by the way, is still being built.
Guys, calm down. Everything will work out fine. Trust me. All you need is love.
I told you they're not going to play that song.
No. I meant love will see us through. See, guys, I've learned something recently. Whenever I get gloomy with the state of the world, I think about the arrivals gate at Mortonhoof Railways. General opinion's starting to make out that we live in a world of hatred and greed, but I don't see that. It seems to me that love is everywhere. And if you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around.
Okay, and how is love supposed to help us wrangle a wedding, a children's Christmas recital, and a porno shoot?
And our annual store Christmas party, don't forget that.
Right. How is love supposed to wrangle all these wildly different events together into a cohesive whole?
Don't worry. I know someone who can help with just such a thing.
Gary Marshall?
Gary, no, Richard Curtis, and Bill Nighy, and Alan Rickman, and Colin Firth, Keira Knightley. Oh, what's the name of that guy from The Walking Dead?
We get it, Dave.
Just play the damn movie.
I need to get out of here. If you need me, I'll be on Shag Highway, heading west.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Throughout the years, Working Title Films and writer Richard Curtis have captured the euphoria, hysteria, and humiliation of love with the films Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, and Bridget Jones's Diary. This holiday season, I'm picking up good vibrations. Join this unforgettable filmmaking team.
Welcome, Prime Minister. This is Natalie.
Hello, David. I mean, sir.
20 years ago, you'd have been just his type.
As they explore that time of year, when desires are revealed.
I'm in love.
Aren't you a bit young to be in love?
No.
Oh, okay.
Secrets are exposed.
Your secretary is very pretty.
Is she?
Be careful there.
And chances are finally taken.
All I want for Christmas is you.
Universal Pictures invites you.
What's the best sex you've ever had?
Britney Spears. No, I ain't kidding. She was rubbish.
To take everything you know about love.
You have this kind of problem?
Yeah, of course you did, you saucy mings.
And multiply it by 8.
Would you excuse me for 1 second? Okay, that's done. This will be
Hugh Grant, Liam Neeson, Colin Firth, Laura Linney, Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman, Rowan Atkinson, Keira Knightley.
Christmas is the time to be with the people you love.
Yeah, I need a car.
This holiday season.
Does Natalie live here?
All you need.
Oh.
Hello.
Is love, actually.
Are you singing carols?
I suppose I could.
Please, sir, please.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen. When the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even.
Okay, that was How to Juggle a Dozen Different Plot Lines, a.k.a. Love, Actually. I'm your host, Dave. Thank you all for being on listening in on our Christmas episode, guys, our annual Christmas episode. And this year, we've got a doozy. I'm joined again, of course, by Jackie.
Part of me wants to just do the whole Love Actually quote that you already did, but I won't. But love actually is all around.
Ryan, do you concur?
Happy Christmas, Davey.
Thank you for saying that, because that is a massive plot hole. Well, not a plot hole, but something, an egregious error this movie makes. They do not say Merry Christmas in Britain. They say Happy Christmas.
I'm sure at least one British person has said Merry Christmas.
I thought we were doing the first Harry Potter movie.
You always say that, and I always say no. Every year, why can't we do Sorcerer's Stone? Because it's the worst one.
Well, in this one, it'd be the Philosopher's Stone.
The Philosopher's Stone. Oh, of course. Oh,
I made the error.
Yeah.
And finally, we're joined, of course, by Michael.
Let's go get the shit kicked out of us by love.
Aw.
Perfect, perfect. Well, Love Actually, guys. I kind of got a sense of how one of us feels about this movie before we started recording the episode here. But just to get a pulse, like, because this can be a somewhat divisive movie. What's the general feeling of this film from you guys? Jackie, we'll start with you.
Well, I have a love-hate relationship with this film, and I have all of the storylines ranked, not in a numbered list, but I've got the good ones, the whatever ones, and the bad ones, and as I've gotten older, the list of bad ones grows.
The what were they thinking ones.
But I will still fight for the good ones. I'll do it. I'll fight today. I'm planning on it.
I will fight with you. Mike, what about you? What's your general feeling to this movie? Well, I guess first off, like, is this the first time for anyone?
It's the second time for me. I saw this once. My history of the movie, just I'll say it because it's quick, is I saw it once in college when I was like 20. And I remember kind of feeling similar to how I do now after seeing it. I don't know. I feel like I came away with it both times feeling roughly the same. But we'll get into it. Yeah.
Okay. Mysterious. Ryan, why don't you bring us up with your view on this movie? Surely you loved it.
I think I've ever watched all the way through, and you know, I know people love it, and I remember working at the Dollar Theater when it was out and all that stuff. I feel like we had it for a long time.
Love was all around.
And yeah, I watched this first time. I've sat through it, and I'm surprised people like this at all. It's like,
oh wow!
It's probably one of the worst movies we've ever done.
Whoa! Okay, but you didn't watch Valentine's Day, Ryan.
Okay, I didn't see Valentine's Day.
It's this movie, but without any drop of charm.
I think seeing Valentine's Day teed this movie up to work so much better. Like
that came out
than it,
way later. Oh, yeah. That,
but
Day
it way
hits.
Later, but yeah. still a shameless.
Well, this movie
rip-off.
Had what it had going for it was. Consistently competent actors.
Yes.
Which Valentine's Day was like sore. Imagine
have.
This movie with no good acting or like none of the star
yes.
power.
Well, yes. It's like, I like Christmas movies. I've been watching them. I love cheesy ones. I love bad. There's some bad ones I like. But this one is like, and there's actors in that are great. But like, I don't
you
know.
You know, I'm kind of with you, Ryan. I don't know if I'm quite as negative as you, but I think this movie feels like it was made by aliens in a lot of ways. Like,
in many ways,
and you
yes.
know, okay, I got to say this because this is like, I thought this the first time I saw it. And I thought this again, uh-huh. seeing it now. It starts off with like just a fundamental misunderstanding of humanity. Like the whole premise of this movie is like,
is that
you know,
love actually
you want to feel
is
love
all around.
No. I'm not being like cynical about like that's not what I mean. The premise is like, when I want to feel better, I go to the airport. Like,
no,
I've been to the airport a lot
of
times,
airports.
And people are not happy at the airports. I don't know where, like, these, that's like, once
point.
In a while, you get, like, a oh my gosh, it's someone we waited, but, like,
yeah, maybe like
99%
of
people at an airport
people.
Are pissed, tired, hungry, angry. They're, like, starting fights with the flight attendant about, like, wearing a piece of paper or something on their head. Like, it's... I,
well,
like,
2003 was a different
it
time.
It wasn't a different time. I was 9/11 in airports. No one was
happened.
Well, I think the thing is like, you said it yourself. That when this does happen, I think, like love, this.
Like love, like, it occasionally
rare.
Happens.
I think this is almost as if, like, just reach out there. It's around the corner. We can meet anybody. It's just like, I don't know. It's sick. This movie's just disgusting.
Wow.
I mean, there are, I would say there are, I mean, there's certainly. Bold stance I'm about to take. There's some plot lines of this movie that are disgusting, but there's some like, okay, like the, I'm going to throw out there. I'm now quartered as the defender of this movie. I think the,
I'm with you.
I think the Liam Neeson, with his kids routine is charming to the extent that you see them bonding. It even that one gets weird by the end when they're like, don't drive to the airport. Like they should, he just called him dad for the first time. They need to go like have an ice cream sundae together. Like
okay.
That's the love story here.
Pause on that moment. When
we
dad,
we're
sure.
gonna, we'll have this out a little later on, but I'm sitting here hooting, hollering, pumping my fist when the theme is playing and the kids running through the airport. Come on, yeah. Come on.
But it's like, but that's like, that's not cool. Like, it,
what's not cool about it? It's great.
What's not cool about running through the airport while duh, 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 duh.
Sam, me! Fantastic show, classic, drumming song.
Thanks. Plan didn't work, though.
Tell her that.
Tell her what?
Tell her that you love her.
No way. Anyway, they fly tonight.
Even better, Sam. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll always regret it if you don't. I never told your mom enough. I should have told her every day because she was perfect every day. You've seen the films, kiddo. It ain't over till it's over.
Okay, Dad. Let's do it. Let's go get the shit kicked out of us by love.
Yes!
I think the thing is like, there's... If there's... something like that, that's like, oh, okay, great. And then right... like, that's probably the only one that, like, concludes out of all the really...
Well, okay.
What about the Monica Lewinsky scandal story?
Well, we'll get... Okay.
Okay. That's
let's cool. start... Let's start at the top. Let's name the plot lines because, like I said, I think we can rank them by... the ones with charm,
but
the Dave, ones that don't
Dave's
matter, and the ones that too. You hate. Also, yes, Dave, go
Dave's
ahead.
Defense,
Well, I don't remember the first time I saw this movie. It's certainly a movie I remember hearing a lot about, because this movie is talked about a lot, and it is a beloved movie. It, divisive as it can be, it is, I think, largely a beloved movie. They, you know, it plays during Christmas. And
do you think this is something that is like intergenerationally loved, or do you think this is a millennial thing?
I will say this was a favorite in my household by my boomer parents.
Okay.
So. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones who fed me this.
Well, this movie is interesting because you mentioned Valentine's Day, which we've watched before in the show, which is basically like the bastard offspring of this movie.
I mean, it literally is this movie, but what if Valentine's Day?
Absolutely.
What if worse?
Gary Marshall saw this movie with his family at a Christmas get-together. He's like, I could do that too. Only
but
worse.
It's like starring Ashton Kutcher, George Lopez, Taylor Swift, Taylor Lautner.
Yeah. There's not even.
And those are the
Alec
heavy
Rickman.
Hitters.
One thing I think, I don't remember the first time I saw it, but one thing I was taken with watching it this time is that this is an R-rated rom-com.
Yeah, you see tits in this one.
You see boobs, you see ass, you get fucks, you get shits.
That's good.
You get some pretty heavy plot lines as far as like Liam Neeson's like wife died and now he's stepfather to the son. You have cheating husbands,
you got Joni Mitchell
wives, you have creepy Walking Dead stars that are like creeping on their friend's wife.
You've got emotionally disturbed siblings,
a guy who's one step away from like a mass shooting.
Yeah, and then, probably worst of all, you have horny English incel man who wants to go to America to just have a lot of sex with American girls because American girls just love English guys.
It does have Bean, though.
What?
It does have Bean. It does have Mr. Bean.
It does have
it
Bean
has Roy Atkinson.
As a chaotic, good, figure.
Why is he in there twice? Like,
because he's got to give you that little wink.
You got to do it a third time. What kind of...
Did they have him in the month later thing with that block?
Well,
is he in
they
that?
They should have.
I don't think so.
If they
you
didn't, they screwed
you
up.
See him when Alan Rickman buys the necklace for his.
He tries to thwart the necklace right there, but it doesn't work.
There's that, and then at the airport, and that thing, I was like,
and he allows the kid to sneak past.
Only twice seems like enough.
Dave, did you mention the prime minister trying to have sex with his house attendant story?
Oh, of course, yes. Hugh Grant, the newly
excused her away.
Prime minister.
Remember when in this guys? Remember in this rom-com that we watched when the prime minister of Britain walked into his office on the secretary he wants to have sex with and saw that she was making out with the president of the United States of America. Oh yeah, she's being sexually assaulted by the president of the United States of America. Remember when that happened in this fun
rom-com?
And then
she apologizes to him.
I think it's just, I don't know. It's a blender.
The tone is like, it's what I keep coming back to when I was thinking about this, because I was trying to think about like what to say about this, like how does it make me, this movie makes me feel gross, and like in the same way that having like if I just inhaled a bunch of Skittles I would feel disgusting.
You mentioned like the blender. There are certain times when the transitions don't quite work, or I'm not sure if they're trying to be funny. Like for instance, one storyline we have, it's very small compared to a lot of the other ones, but there's a storyline set on the set of a porno shoot where Martin Freeman
really big
is
porno.
Like, the largest budget crew. Porno ever. This is like the Criterion Collection of porno they're shooting.
Well, we used to be a proper country.
That's true.
England.
He is a porno stand-in, so people can come
and
like them.
They're not even the porn stars. They're like the, let's get our lighting right.
We have
so
to
they're,
get the
they're
lighting
the stand-ins.
Checked.
So they're not there's actually having sex, but they're like naked and mimicking sex.
Yeah, there's a shot when I believe it's this one when they're lighting them, and he's like, "Oh, can you put your hands on her breast, please? Can you massage them?
Could you
like,
massage them a little?"
As he's making the movement of like humping, and then it cuts to a funeral.
Yeah,
with Liam Neeson.
Yeah,
and
that storyline, I will say, I thought this before, and I still think this is like the best one.
The Neeson one.
That's my favorite.
If I can be bold, I would say the good, which to mean like adequately charming or emotionally engaging storylines are Bill Nighy, the washed up
yeah.
singer.
Oh yeah, that's we didn't even mention that. Yeah.
Which we start with. It's a great opening.
That one's good.
The porn stand-ins, Liam Neeson and his stepson, and I'll fight. It's flawed, but I'll fight for it. The Emma Thompson, Rickman.
No, I'm with
cheating.
You on that.
So those are, I would say, these storylines that
like
are.
Cool.
Successful. Well, the bad ones include.
No, it's the ones you remember.
The bad ones are horny yes. Colin going to America, horny PM in love with his employee, Colin Firth in love with his non-English speaking housekeeper, and the whatever ones are like, which I kind of go back and forth on how much I even give a shit about.
What about how do you feel about the secretary and the architect?
Laura Linney.
Oh, Laura. Well, I was going to say.
That's probably the smallest one.
Well, that's the one that at the Laura Linney
storyline.
There's
too many stories. There's too many.
Is really neither good nor bad. It's just upsetting. Like, it's just sad.
It just happens. Yeah. It's not really a conclusion to it.
In love with your best friend's girl, Keira Knightley, is also one that has.
That might be the worst one.
It really is.
The most,
I think, the
most problematic when you think about it. That video. Oh, my God.
I'm not even worried about like it being problematic. I just think it sucks. Like it's like
it also
it's
just
no,
sucks.
Yeah. Oh,
but
I mean
you...
to be clear, I'm not saying I don't like this because it's problematic. There's plenty. I like some awful stuff.
Oh sure.
This is
the
not...
reveal of Keira Knightley watching that creeper video, and she's like, "Oh, oh great, I look beautiful in my wedding dress," and then she's like, "Wow, it's still on me, huh?" Still,
yeah, and the way it's like edited together, it's like a serial killer.
Like he definitely
just even the whole setting, like the warehouse vibe.
Off.
She's on like a chair just in front of the TV, and
her
he's like
face
standing.
Is like dropping.
This is like my core problem with the movie is it's like it is so alien. It like it's bizarre, and the tone is just so. Wrong
the
on everything
too, and I noticed I have note of this one that I feel like I had not really noticed before, but the realization of Emma Thompson's character unwrapping what she thinks is the necklace and it's actually the CD. She realizes her husband has stepped away. That
great
comes
moment.
Immediately after horny Colin is gonna go fuck three American girls.
Four.
Actually, four. Blah, 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 blah,
that
scene makes me more and more angry every year I'm alive. I want it to pan up every time to them like silhouette in the house and then they're pulling out knives and killing him. And it never happens.
I was thinking because I forgot that story.
You're like
and
they're gonna murder.
I was
him,
thinking
right?
that yes. that was gonna be a turn.
Because
like, surely it's not just gonna be
that. There's some horny American
oh,
girl.
I guess
because
the bit
it
is
plays like a it play. Yeah. They're all playing. Okay, so as we said, this
shout
movie
out
has
to
like
January Jones
plot lines and January Jones pops up. This movie has a million different plot lines, so we're gonna jump all around.
It goes all around. It's all in around. The weeks before Christmas, all of these disparate lives and relationships and love, actually, is all around. And then Christmas happens, and that's the movie.
And the storylines intersect and stuff. You know what Love Actually is.
Yeah, that,
no one's listening to this and doesn't know what Love Actually is.
And that is.
Is
where I will say, compared to the Valentine's Days of the world, the only
definitely.
Thing I remember from that film is like Anne Hathaway doing Looney Tunes voices. And in Love Actually, you know, there's the parodies, there's X, Y, and Z, but you know the scene with the cards or like the All I Want for Christmas Is You in the, you know, the end. It's like
there's some moments.
There are moments.
God, Anne Hathaway was in Valentine's Day,
she
huh?
She was.
I forgot. That was
our
the best
girl
part.
Never sleeps.
And that's, you know, you mentioned, like, these moments. Like, to me, that's one of the big shames of this movie, that the thing that's arguably most well-known from this movie is from the creepiest storyline in the movie, where this guy is just creeping on his friend's wife.
Yep. His best friend's wife.
I think it's just been taken out of context for all time. Like, I don't think anybody knows what happens before.
To me, you are perfect.
They don't know about the secret wedding tape that's the Juliet-only version that this guy definitely masturbates to.
It's just you want to see a guy like that showing you those cards.
Because that's the thing. He's a very handsome man. It's, you know, in the snow. To him saying, to me, you are perfect. You're like, oh, my God.
It's designed to watch on TV.
Exactly.
Just pop in. There's nothing. There's no depth.
It does. That's a really good point, Ryan. It probably was like designed with that.
I don't think it was, but pacing. It is.
I could see that. Why not? Like you, that would 2003. That'd
well,
be a time when
a lot of boobs in this though for TV.
Oh, good point.
Well, it's also a relatively long movie. I feel like a lot of like TV producers or TV people would probably love to get this movie because like, ooh, this movie's like 2 hours and 15 minutes with commercials. This is like a 3.5-4 hour movie. We can
and
block.
You know the boobs. The boobs are pretty contained to specific storylines.
And in England they can show.
Oh
some
yeah,
boobs.
And they can show boobs. But I mean, if you just cut the porno storyline out, you're
I mean,
pretty
you're
much
missing
golden.
The charm.
Yeah,
of
I mean
these
that's the only
lovely.
I mean,
so
they could edit around that. You can have Martin. Yeah.
Ryan, I'm curious. Like, so what were there any storylines that did work for you, or like were better than others, maybe? Or
just there's little sparks here and there. Like, I think you guys kind of said it. I mean, I think the thing I like the most is that there is guys in this movie playing against type, like. Neeson and Rickman.
He's so vulnerable in this one.
And I don't know, even
Neeson's acting in this is like pretty good, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's the best part. Like that's the only thing I like really is like just the guys that don't play stuff like this. The only thing is that
you like the old guys.
They're only getting like, you know, 10% of a movie where like this could be a whole movie, like this whole part. Like I would watch that. It'd be great.
I would I agree about like Neeson and Rickman in these roles, that especially like as the decade went on, it was like, oh, you're never gonna play something this like small ever again, which sucks because they're both so good in this. You're right. There's
so that's like what I like.
It's good people in it,
and we should. Yeah, that's really a strength to Neeson and Rickman's performance is that. Well, especially I think Rickman, because Alan Rickman has one of the sleazier storylines in the movie where he wants to bang his secretary.
I don't like him, though, at first, you know, for a while.
Well, that's the thing.
He's
at
a charming guy.
Yeah.
Yes, he's such a good actor.
I do,
he's so naturally charming that I'm like, I still kind
of
like him.
I do like one of the things I do like about this movie that I don't think I liked the first time I saw it, but now I do, is how comically sexy that secretary is trying to be like on him, like the fact she's like wearing a devil horns to like she's literally the devil on his shoulder. Like I did appreciate how like just cartoonish they got with that.
That's the thing with that storyline is like it's so silly. She's like she has some line in the office and then she's like spreads her legs in her chair, and Alan Rickman is just sitting there, like, "What?"
It's like,
what did she say? She's like, "There's what I need.
I don't want something I need. I want
even it's just like everything. Like there's one line exchange in particular that cracked me up, where it's like he's like getting to work and like they're talking about the Christmas party. He's like, "Oh, hey, did you book the venue for the Christmas party?" And she's like, "I did, and you're really gonna like it." And he's like, "Oh, what is it?" And he's like, "It's an art gallery.
Full of
a lot of
dark
corners for
doing
people
dark
to
deeds.
Do dark deeds." I'm like, Jesus, this is like 0 to 60.
So, how's the Christmas party going?
Good. I think I found a venue. A friend of mine works there.
What's it like?
Good, good. It's an art gallery. Full of dark corners for doing dark deeds.
Right. Good. Well, I suppose I should take a look at it or something.
You should.
There's a moment at the Christmas party when Emma Thompson leaves Alan Rickman's side, and as soon as she leaves, the secretary is right there like, "Hey, you want to sexily dance?"
It's that part of it, I used to...
It's almost like Looney Tunes-esque.
Well, I used to be kind of annoyed by that, but at this point in time, because I mean, you know, it's written by men, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but it's like, it's fun. It's to the point, where it's funny that any of this is happening. Of course, the consequences are not funny. Emma Thompson has her life
turned upside down. No, like, this is not like I'm condoning this behavior,
but
it's funny.
And it's fucking funny because for all that we get of her motivation, it seems to just be like, what if I ruined this guy's life?
Yeah,
and
I don't think
works.
She has... Yeah, I don't... I just think she wants to meddle.
He spends... I looked it up. What... would have been almost $350 USD at the time on a gold necklace for a woman he hasn't even fucked.
Yeah, that's the tragic thing. I don't even think they did anything.
I think he gave her the necklace and she was like, sick, I'm done with this.
He got all the downsides of having an affair and none of the, like, he spent money and now his family hates
him. His
and
wife,
that's all
yeah,
he got out of the whole thing.
Presumably at the end of the movie, they got separated because it's 1 month later at the airport.
Yeah.
They're picking him up from somewhere.
That scene, that ending always struck me as a
like they
we are separated, but maybe we'll remain married. And then when the kids are old enough, like a divorce
or,
might
yeah,
happen.
I think
or you
it's
might
open
just
ended,
live
like,
with it. That the oh my god, I'm sorry. I do love this storyline where they're greeting him. Emma Thompson's like kind of stiffly like, oh well, welcome back. And then she turns with the kids. She's like, let's go. And then there's like a full pause before she says home. And it's like, oh, the Beach Boys are playing in the background. But you're like, yeah, no, this is not a happy ending for this family.
It's sick of them to put a
really heartfelt, tragic scene like that. And then meanwhile, like horny English.
Yeah.
Comes
he's like
I got this chick here, man.
I got a girl Richards with a southern accent and she has a hot sister who wants to meet you.
Who wants to fuck. Yeah. And then Emma Thompson is just going through with her shattered life. The scene.
Hilarious.
And then we have Monica Lewinsky jumping to Bill Clinton's arms.
And the fucking okay, I know it's
Bill
part.
Bill Clinton is the is
yeah.
Billy
excuse
Bob.
Me, Billy Bob Thornton
oh,
is
Billy.
Is Bill Clinton.
I'm just saying the plot line is the Bill Clinton Monica Lewinsky
the,
scandal.
He definitely
excused her away before he started going and banging her. You know?
Definitely the worst storyline.
Yeah, he fired her first.
Is the prime minister
redistributed her?
Yeah, I'm sure. Like based on that conversation, I don't think she got like a promotion to a better job. That seemed like a rid of her.
The
like
prime minister
the way that she,
is...
that assistant was taking that information in, she like looked like she, it had the vibe of like I want you to dispose of the problem. Like, yes, sir.
The
right
prime
away, sir.
Minister is in love with his, like, not quite a housekeeper. She, like, brings through some mail and biscuits and tea and
chocolate
shit.
Biscuits.
And there's a running joke in the movie that people keep calling her fat. And it's in that kind of early 2000s way where you're like, oh, well, the joke is she's not fat, obviously. But it's also, like, she's a woman with, like, a trace of an ass. And it's 2003 and that's illegal.
Yeah, and this movie has a lot of... Of it
yeah,
that
Keira,
this movie like
I was good yeah Miss Keira Knightley, who by the way is 18 years old in this film.
Jesus. Oh really?
Five
oh, wow.
years older than the little boy, the stepson.
I like, you know, there's a lot of things you could say about like this movie being like problematic or a pure thing of its time or whatever.
Sure.
But I do think, and I know like that was a time where it was really big to be really skinny, but I do think this movie feels like it's like written by someone who has like a bone to pick with like people being overweight. Like there's a lot of like weird jokes about that, and that seemed like someone's like got something they need to work through.
2003 was a dark
this.
Time. And
I don't know. There's something weird about it. I don't think it even feels like it's of its time. It feels like it's like a
It's just
like
mean.
Said, aliens. It's like
yeah.
It's
like look at this
I think
incredibly
that's putting down the 2000s or something.
Okay.
Well, it's like to look at
this. You might be right because like when Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky happened, that did not go well for Bill Clinton.
Oh sure. Oh, I was gonna say the about the fat jokes too. Like take this beautiful woman, you know, curvy with like the smiling face and everything, and everyone's just like fat, right? Oh, the thighs on her.
Her own family calls her chubby.
Well, they call her plumpy.
Oh,
which,
plumpy,
which
yeah.
is funny. But I caught this at the very end. I had never actually noticed this one at the epilogue when she runs into the prime minister's arms in the airport. Which, first of all, is the prime minister flying commercial?
Yeah, he's a man of the people.
But she runs into his arms.
Aliens don't know that. They don't know the details.
And he catches her, and then he's like, God, you weigh a lot. She's
yeah,
like, oh, shut up.
That's like the last line.
What?
Yeah, and remember how their whole relationship kind of started when she opened up about how her last boyfriend dumped her for being fat?
For being too fat.
Yeah.
And then, like, with the
beat. What a funny little joke.
This is not written by, like, how do you fucking start what's supposed to be a good, heartwarming story, like, with that kind of opening emotional beat? And the clothes you get is now the guy saying, like, oh, fatty.
Fatty.
I mean, like, I think it's supposed to be, like a joke, but.
But it's a bad joke.
It's weird, yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, I know it's supposed to be a joke. I know he's not like literally being like Jesus, like
yeah.
But it's the tone is like ruined. Like it's that's not a sweet story.
And again, I had never caught that line at the end, and I was just like, man, wow, you guys really just but also on the Prime Minister storyline, I was thinking this about a while back. I caught on TV, Air Force One, where Harrison Ford is the president, and just the way that movie—that's
a president.
I was saying, you know, in real life, if a politician was this good looking, they'd be 100% a sociopath. And same with, like, I'm sorry, a person as attractive as Hugh Grant to be the prime minister, 100% evil. There's no way that man is not evil. Obviously, with Billy Bob Thornton, you can tell by looking that he would be evil.
Oh, my God. He oozes sleaze.
I have to imagine the character of, like, a sleazy American president who sexually harasses a woman was like, whoa, it's got to be Billy Bob Thornton.
We got to get Billy Bob in
like
here. Right?
I was born to play this role.
Yeah, get him in a... Okay, also...
He's like, I'll do it if I can drink scotch in half my scenes.
Very jealous of your plane, by the way.
Thank you. We love that thing, I'll tell you.
Oh, Natalie. Hi.
Morning, man. How's your day so far? Excellent. Goodness, it's a pretty little son of a bitch right there. Did you see those pipes?
That whole, like, debate scene. Like, I was, like, trying to, like...
Oh,
like,
it was
they
so...
They weren't talking about anything. Like, I was just, like, it was just the most vague...
They're trying so hard to make this appeal to people on both sides of the aisle. Like,
right?
They don't want to take... like, it's...
They're
it's,
like, what are the politics of
yeah, they
Prime
dance
Minister
so
Grant?
Much around, like... any specific
like any
thing
kind of like, yeah, it was,
because
it was,
if they did then it wouldn't alienate people
yeah.
Right,
I wasn't like, alienate just it didn't really like it just was nothing like they weren't saying anything.
No, absolutely not. We cannot and will not consult on that either.
That is unexpected.
Well, it shouldn't be. The last administration made it perfectly clear we're just being consistent with their policies.
Well, with all respect, sir, they were bad policies.
Right, thanks, Alex. I don't think we're making progress here. Let's, move on, shall we?
It was seriously, it did explain what the relationship was. It's like, I guess America is bullying us
they're
or
like
something.
But that's totally...
It's all is like, they're taking and not giving. It's like,
they're
all it is that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's 2003. It's like super...
Well, we can't mention like the wars.
It's definitely Iraq war is yeah. Like the thing that... But they don't want to say anything about that because yeah. Then people will like...
Yeah, well, that's too political. No,
that's 100% it.
I had
like,
a note
yeah.
too of like, so what are the major geopolitical consequences of the prime minister
yes.
like publicly saying like, fuck you to the United
yeah,
States?
Yeah, it's kind of wild that it's like... him wanting to have sex with his secretary sets off like a geopolitical like major
fallout?
Yeah, there's major
fallout. It would
literally
be like
this.
It would be like see like the 1 month later wouldn't be taking place at the airport because it would now be declared a no fly zone because we're at war with
because
America.
America's
yeah.
Sorry,
yeah. Yeah, 100%. It's like
President Billy Bob Thornton nuked Ireland.
Tensions
so
have never been this high since the Revolutionary War.
All because of one broad
China in the chaos China has now invaded the West Coast seeing a weakness.
It's all
just like even though this is just one of these storylines, it might just be the way it is because Richard Curtis wrote Yesterday also, which I hate, which I think is like abomination to you as well.
Yeah.
What's Yesterday? I don't think I'm familiar with that.
That's the Beatles, the Danny Boy.
What if there was no Beatles?
Wow.
Except for out of this guy.
Oh. No, I know that. I
she's just
17, I thought that was called,
you know
like,
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like one of the worst movies ever too. And I'm just like
yeah.
He's just yeah, just and And Danny Boyle's, I think, a great director. And just like, he must have been just, this is a bad writer.
Maybe he liked Love Actually. Maybe he's one of
He's a big Love Actually fan. He's
so,
like,
Ryan, what do you think, like, you said some bold things.
I know.
And I feel like I've heard a little bit of, like, some of the critiques, but, like, what about this is, like, because I'm not saying I disagree with you for some of it. But, yeah, I'm just...
It doesn't really... I don't think it, like, sets off whatever kind of premise or, like, thesis it's putting out there.
The premise is that Love Actually is all around.
But it's, like, I don't know. Like, doesn't really dive in any but thing. Everything seems very... It just... I don't know. It just, I think maybe in my head too, just how beloved this is, and that
I
was
mean,
in the back of my head, and
it's
just...
too beloved for how much of a mess it is.
Oh,
for
man.
I
gotta say, to go to bat for Richard Curtis briefly, not necessarily for this movie, because I would say, you know, Cards on the Table
but
overall.
For yesterday.
I can't speak to that movie, but overall, I largely enjoy this movie, problems, you know, notwithstanding, but I will...
Defend yourself, Dave. What is going on with
well,
you?
Well,
defend your backwards. Convictions!
This is...
I'm going to go to... Well, let me speak,
well,
sir.
I
will
even
not
speak,
be bullied.
So you
boys!
Go. Do it.
Richard Curtis, say what you will about that guy, but he is also the writer of, I think, arguably one of the best romantic... dramedies I've ever seen, like, and I'm saying this genuinely, no sarcasm.
I can't wait to hear what
about
it is.
Time. Mm-hmm. About Time, again, another Bill Nighy joint with him and Domhnall Gleeson with a time traveling movie.
I've never heard of that
movie crushes me every
I've
time
heard of
I
that
watch
movie
it.
And I could see that being fun.
I mean, I like
that
two
is
actors.
A good movie, and that I feel like
it's
that
a wacky
movie
premise
is actually, that's a movie that's actually saying something, and it could be said maybe it's because it sticks to one storyline and not a dozen or more. But
2013, Rachel McAdams, Margot Robbie?
Yeah.
What?
Just to go to bat for old Richard Curtis here, you know. But as far as this movie goes, and I've said this before, I think I mentioned it on Valentine's Day. Maybe you don't like the whole, but maybe there's like little pieces. Like if there's one benefit for a movie like this is that there are so
choose.
Many different storylines. Yes, you can pick and choose.
That's
like I kind of like that one. Like that's what's kind of fun about these types of movies, that even if overall they may be shit, there may be one or two where you're like, that was genuinely like wholesome. And
you know what I think it is? I think it is people like this movie, and people love the reason people love this movie so much is there is a deep untapped market for anthology movies. Because they're just cool. People like, maybe that's my hot take that I'm
maybe
just
so.
Thinking about.
I think maybe this is sort of what you said earlier. I think, Ryan, you said something like this earlier, but of not, or maybe Dave, but not necessarily that this was like made with like TV in mind, and that's why it exists so well. But like with a lot of Christmas movies, it does exist well as something to put on the TV and then kind of come in and out of the room. And maybe by the time you walk back in, you're back at that storyline that you do like, but you don't really care about walking out again to like a lot of Christmas movies, which like if you sit down and watch them, you're like, I don't really care about this all the way through. But I know like, you know, the handful of scenes where you're like, get in here. Like it's that one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It I think it just to me is probably like a surprise, like, This is what people like. Like people like this, and it's like not even bad enough to like rag on like things. Like
I think
like
it's bad enough to do that.
I don't know. It's like not wacky enough in part. I don't know. It's just tonally all over. Too much. Too much.
It's true.
Over the place. I like some stupid shit, but this is just bad. I don't know. Like it's like so like it's just so freaking. Vanilla almost in a way too.
That's true.
For how much fun stuff there is with like, you know, tits and fucks and just things, and it's just and fun and British humor that just so damn flat. Like the funniest thing is probably Rowan Atkinson's face, you know. It's like the best thing in the movie.
Him putting together the gift bag,
it's a great
is
bit.
A really good bit.
And it's in the he's in
a cinnamon
once,
stick
once in a one and a half times, because then he's the one that like he gets the kid onto the plane, whatever.
And I will argue it doesn't need to be a rule of threes, it is simply a callback.
True, that's true. I
just a little
he
wink.
Should be in the magic that brings more people together in the movie.
He should be Santa Claus is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's like the angel, the Christmas angel.
He needs to be Clarence watching over all of them coming in to be like,
oh, Clarence.
Oh, don't die.
Now, that's
what Clarence says. Oh my God. I think that's why, probably why I have so much affection for Love Actually to this day, is because I love Christmas movies that are just fucking depressing, which is why I love It's a Wonderful Life more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm looking at all the people. What about Colin Firth? We haven't talked about him much.
His storyline, I just don't. Kind of boring, speaking right? of vanilla, because he is a writer, and he starts the movie. His like girlfriend was fucking his brother, so he fucks off to like the French countryside to write his book outdoors on a typewriter. Yeah, he has a Portuguese housekeeper, a hottie who does not speak English, and they fall in love across the language barrier. and it just is such a whatever storyline.
Skip everything in between. It has the beginning and the end of things.
There should be like a little footnote during the storyline. Like, if you want to see the full version of the storyline, go watch the movie Spanglish.
Yeah.
And then the thing with Laura Linney, because I love her, and it's a cute little thing, them's little office crush thing. Mm-hmm. And you're just annoyed by what her situation. Like, it's not even like, you're not even like sad. I don't even feel bad for her. I'm just like fucking annoyed by it.
I was shocked that, so they have there's a famous scene with the cards. I'm like, that scene should not have occurred there. That scene should have occurred in this scene with Laura Linney. The guy, after she gets the phone call for the second time from her brother, this is what he should have done if he wasn't a piece of shit. He should have written on a piece of paper, rain check, ? You know what I mean? Something, but no, he just leaves.
Well,
happens with the story?
It's because it's clear she's not going to make the time for...
I don't think that's like a weird oversight. I think he's like... I think we're supposed to assume he's mad.
I don't know if he's mad. Is he?
More just kind of annoyed.
It's
or
well
like,
because
oh, she
keeps answering the phone. Her cell phone's always going off. We get that that vintage Motorola ringtone. And it's her adult brother who is like disabled. You see, or in some way
he's in like a Clockwork Orange. Basically,
yeah, he seems to have emotional problems, but he takes up a lot of her time and calls her all the time. And
how does he have access to the phone like this? What's
that's a good
on?
Question, because when you're institutionalized in that way, they don't normally give you a cell phone.
I think maybe Mike, did you mean to say instead of Clockwork Orange, maybe Cuckoo's Nest?
I did.
No, remember that scene where Laura Linney's strapping his eyes open?
I mean, yeah, there is stuff like that in Clockwork Orange, but it's not quite that extreme.
I guess maybe
this is definitely Cuckoo, not a clockwork.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe in England with their national health care, they let you make a lot more phone calls.
Maybe
but
I was just like, if he looks, when you can finally cut to them. At first, it's like, oh, maybe he's just, it's a guy that, like, maybe he's at home. But then you cut to that they're in, like, a facility.
Yeah.
I'm like, it falls apart. Like, if it just fell apart.
Yeah, they would not let him make all those phone calls. But that said, with the Laura Linney storyline, I mean, at the end of the day, it just makes me sad because I love Laura Linney and she's a good actress. I do love at the very beginning when Alan Rickman is her boss and he like calls her into the office and he's like, so girl, how long have you been in love with Carl?
Yeah,
and she's like, oh my God, does Carl know? She's like, yeah, he does. So they have this like flirt. It's a fun setup, but
he tells her basically like, tell him you like him, go to a party,
and
then go
and
home.
Suck his
dick. I'm gonna say this for I'm trying to be like
it's Blue
you know,
Balls the movie. All right,
I'm trying to find like the positives where I can see them, and I think now that I'm thinking about it, I think every scene with Alan Rickman,
it's a delight,
and with Emma Thompson, I think those. Now think about it, like every scene with them is good. I think.
I would agree.
And it's also one of the few storylines that doesn't end on this cartoon, you know, fairy tale type of way. Where
yeah.
It's like, no, things are going to be bad. You know, this is complicated.
But yeah, Ryan, what did you think of that?
I think that and like the Neeson stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking about this now and I'm like, it could have been the same movie in a way that's just focused with like an extended family thing, you know, where there's like,
yeah,
maybe. Like, is Neeson, how is he?
I think he's just friends with Emma Thompson because she comforts him at the beginning. Oh my God, that scene is like, it's funny, like, the way they're back and forth, and then all of a sudden Neeson is like really crying.
Yeah, he starts crying like at the like breakfast table,
and it's just oh my god,
that
it's
was like good.
It's like I think that you could probably just have that Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson, Liam Neeson.
Like, and then the porn thing for like fun.
Yeah,
off
that
the side.
Get rid of that too. Even though that's fun, get rid of it.
That make that its own movie.
I would say just drop, and maybe there's like maybe something. Maybe I don't know. One of them works for
with.
Something.
Well, we also still have to keep in Bill Nighy, Billy Mack, and his Christmas comeback.
We haven't even mentioned him. That should be like on the TV, like a thing,
yes.
Like a
joke. Yeah, like a RoboCop situation,
Christmas
like a bumper.
All around us.
I got the sense that I was thinking of Seinfeld at the end when the kid runs through the airport and suddenly the way he gets through is that the people are distracted by the TV of Bill Nighy on the TV
stripping,
getting naked. I'm
like,
playing
the guitar.
That seemed like a Seinfeld moment where like something that was previously unrelated now is impacting this story in like a fun, you know, satisfying way.
That is probably my favorite part, and it is the through line of just like the washed up. You know, star is trying to.
He's trying to like bomb his career.
Well, no, it's like a thing where I guess it is still a popular thing that like the number one Christmas hit in Britain. There's like it's like a thing still to this day.
Sure,
it's like a thing that they do.
They love Christmas over there, but it's like he's trying to be like he keeps doing press where he's just like, yeah, buy my shithole record because I hate it, but like why not?
Yeah,
and
well, I feel
like
that press.
Okay, cool.
I feel like that press tour. He's like self sabotaging, but like
it
works.
But it works because people are into it. And meanwhile, his long suffering manager is just like, oh god, oh,
see, I don't need
Jesus.
Any of that. Just have a funny thing.
I need
TV.
That part. I need Billy going to his apartment at the end and saying the one that the people that I love is you.
Now let's get drunk and watch some porn.
Come on, that's the best part.
You know, okay, you know something. You know something else that I want to say.
Get pissed and watch porn.
There was a part of this movie that I was like really surprised with in a positive way, which I feel like I should probably shout out, especially for being made in 2003. It's of course with one of the good ones, the Liam Neeson story. So he like finds out like his kid is acting weird, and it's like, oh, is it still because of, you know, dead
mom just died?
But it's like, no,
are you shooting heroin in your eyes.
Shooting heroin
it's like,
into
no,
his eyeballs.
I'm actually,
I have a crush on a girl.
Yeah, no,
I'm in
well,
love.
No. He just says I'm in love, and like later, Liam Neeson like very casually is just like, who is she or he, and like he says it like or just like who is she or he. And he just says, like, she. And they, like, move on. And just, like, having, like, an exchange with a kid like that where it's, like, just, like, not a big deal.
It's
like,
casual. It's two.
Yeah, that it was mentioned
was
at all and that it wasn't.
Minded for 2003.
Yeah, that it was mentioned and it wasn't, like, a joke. Like, I could see it. I could see a lot of 2003 movies mention it, but it would have been a joke.
Like
but
a tongue, like a little wink kind of thing.
I don't think this is. I don't think it was like meant to be played off like for laughs.
I don't think so, but I think you'd also read it as like
at
it's
the time. I think it would be like a funny,
or you.
But oh, it's not. It's it could have been that cartoonish, but he like the delivery's not that cartoonish.
The delivery is very sincere.
Like he's not like sweating
trying
like, or
to, like
he?
To be supportive. Regard, he's like okay, let's figure
and they
it out.
And they don't like there's no like punchline to it. It's just
son too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's been widowed like you know a week.
And didn't that happen to Liam Neeson in real life too? Like
it did.
Not too long after that, probably.
It, not like a few years later, his wife fell into a like coma after like hitting her head skiing and then passed away. And
yeah,
it's rough.
Yeah, it's rough. And that was probably not too long after this. So it was like almost like this.
It adds, even more like heartbreak to it.
Jesus.
The
I
other,
didn't know that.
I was thinking
That's
about
awful.
That when we were watching it.
The other kind of like real life seeping into it.
It's kind of messed up that you hate this now, Ryan.
Wow, you hate that movie where
that
woman died.
My favorite spot yeah, stuff was seeing Neeson in like this type of role was my favorite stuff. I think.
So. I was gonna say the other kind of like you know emotion bleeding in with. Of course, the Emma Thompson storyline. This is not too long after she had been like publicly left by Kenneth Branagh, and I think I think he did cheat on her.
Kenneth Branagh, I'm sure did
something there, something messy. And so when she's confronting Alan Rickman, first I just love that scene, that whole exchange where she's like, she goes into it casually. She's just like, so if you were me, what would you do if you figured out that your husband might be cheating on you? Would you, you know, cut and run, or would you stay knowing that everything's going to be a little bit worse?
Such a power move to have that conversation in public, too.
When you're waiting for your kids to come through, and she's near tears, but she's doing it. The part where she says, Rickman says like, oh, I'm such a fool. He knows he messed up. He knows he's been caught. And she says, but you've also made a fool out of me, and you've made the life I lead foolish too. And it's so, I just love that line.
Devastating.
It's devastating. And it's like, yeah,
you could have told me that's from like Marriage Story or something.
But it's like, yeah, you did shatter things, dude. You made your choices, and now I have to live with your choices.
You guys are describing a really well-acted movie by two really good actors. And as you were describing that, I just couldn't help but think conversely of the scene when Colin Firth falls, the moment when he really falls in love with his...
His housekeeper.
Is based after his half of his book, like the wind, you know, blows
because
the,
he's not writing on a fucking computer. He's got loose pages.
I swear to God, the moment where the love moment when he's like, oh, I swear to God, it's when he notices her
tramp stamp,
lower back, upper ass tattoo. That's the moment.
He's like, oh God, the musical sting.
Dave, what was 2003 like? Just show that scene.
It's like, it's a weird thing because it's played up. Not that it's like this lovely, like she does something that like takes his breath away. It's almost
it's literally just she takes her clothes off.
She is taking her clothes off and she's hot. Away,
and then it's like, oh, a tramp stamp? She probably likes to fuck.
It's shot in a way where it's like, did Michael Bay like direct a guest shot here? Like,
I mean, I like there's a way to shoot that. There's a direction you can go of like, oh, she's like, going for like for my papers, and the water is like kind of a lovely thing. Like that could be directed in a way that could be, I don't know, like sweet. You know,
but it was very like, boy, yo, yo, yo.
I'm surprised they didn't go like the extra step and just have like her like have like a thong showing with when she's wearing her pants walking around. Yeah. You know, it's being that this is 2003.
It's like the you can totally tell that this movie was written by a middle-aged rich white guy because there are like multiple plot lines of this movie involving. I want to have sex with my housekeeper.
With my employee. Yeah.
So what do young people use as a cure to love sickness? Oh, I got it. We'll watch Titanic.
If I'm Richard Curtis's wife and we had a housekeeper, after we saw this movie, I would like not want to have a housekeeper anymore.
Yeah, you would redistribute her.
Can we see her somewhere else?
Annie, my darling, my dream, my boat. Need you to do a favor for me.
Of course. Anything for the hero of the hour.
Don't ask me why, and for heaven's sake, don't read stuff into this. It's just a weird personality thing. But, you know Natalie, who works here?
The chubby girl.
Who would we call her chubby?
I think there's a pretty sizable ass there, yes, sir. Huge thighs.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I'm sure she's a lovely girl, but I wonder if you could, redistribute her.
It's done.
Yeah, pretty weird stuff. I mean, there's some,
weird
like,
movie.
There's stuff like, you're right, you guys are right, there's things that are little sparks, but it's like, that spark fades quick for me, I'd say.
Yeah.
For a lot of this.
That's
stuff.
Fair enough.
It gets snuffed out.
I think you're onto something, Ryan. I think this could have been a much more focused, fulfilling movie if it had been whittled down to just a few relationships as opposed to eight.
I haven't seen it in a while, but have you ever seen that Steve Martin movie, Parenthood, that's like tons of people, and even like Keanu Reeves is in it. Let me find it. Who was it? Parenthood.
who directed it. That was our old friend, Ron Howard. Yeah.
Yeah. And it has like Steve Martin and Mary Steenburgen and, you know, Rick Moranis. And it's like all like a family. And Joaquin Phoenix is a kid in it and stuff. And it's like, and I don't know if it holds up, but it kind of like has like these, it kind of has a central thing, this family. And then it kind of branches to different things that are happening with all of them. And it kind of comes together still. And they have like complete beginning, middle, and ends. And I don't know, like, this just is missing that. And then the stuff that you do like, you're like, I don't know, you're like immediate. It's like watching.
Why isn't that?
This movie
the whole
is
movie?
Like could be like having sex, and then all of a sudden you see like dead babies and shit, like in your periphery or something like that. You know,
put
what I
that
mean?
On the poster.
It's like you see something like terrible in the peripherals while you lose all in any kind of a sexy feeling you have, any kind of, you know, it just, it's gone, and then you just lose it. And then it's hard to come back from that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's some obvious ones that could have been jettisoned. I think the iconic one with the guy with the cards from Walking Dead, the Juliet and I forget his name storyline.
Yes.
Also the drunk or the horny English guy could have easily been cut. Which, by the way, it really seemed like they were setting that up to be a hostile like situation.
Every
with
time
those girls.
I'm so disappointed that they don't kill him. I want January Jones as American Hottie number two to kill him.
Remember, there's
it
like
seems
scenes
like they're setting that up.
There's like scenes early on too that are like awful that don't even involve him being horny. Like where. He's
clearly just like rude and weird.
Yeah,
to
it's he's like a weird character. Like, there's like a scene where he like literally like eats and then spits out food on a plate that we see on the plate for like they keep the spit up food in frame.
Yeah, he's gross. That said, unfortunately, it is a not unfounded truth that. Sleazy British guys can and will use that as take it as far as they can with American girls.
Yeah, there's like room in a movie like this to have a joke about like an American girl falling for like a British guy or something, but like not like this.
No, it's bad. It's not still like done badly, but I mean, there are some rude and ugly Englishmen in the United States getting pussy they do not deserve as we speak. So.
You know what was probably the thing that probably sparked me at the beginning of the movie that I was like, uh-oh. I'm reading through some of the plot things, and we haven't mentioned this, is like it's at Keira Knightley's wedding, which fucking...
Child bride Keira Knightley.
And, gosh, I can never say his name.
That guy who's been in every... Yeah.
Which he's barely a character.
Yeah. All. He's the cuck.
And there's like the whole thing where they're walking down the aisle and like the whole church starts doing All You Need Is Love. And I just knew. I was like, oh my God, this is the shit I hate. Right? Like this sort of like the breaking out.
I was thinking that because I know you hate concerts was dangerously close
to.
The
concert scene that feels fake in a movie. Like I love like what it feels like realistic. But like
what did you feel about the Mandy Moore?
All
I Want for Christmas Is You.
Well, that was fine because it was like done really well, I thought. Like in a kind
and
of a way.
And we're building up to this.
Very professional children's
time.
Performance.
The little girl who plays Joanna, who sings All I Want for Christmas Is You, would go on to be the voice of Marceline the Vampire Queen on Adventure Time, where she sang a lot of songs on that show.
Cute. Oh, hell yeah.
So good for her.
I think like that kind of work, kids, it's like it kind of works in a way, kind of thing. I think there's this like there's a difference, there's a cheesiness to it, and it's also the whole thing with like, you know, the parents out there watching it. Because
you like School of Rock.
Yeah, like adults like there and they're doing like it's just like it's so. It feels just bad. I don't know. And Keira Knightley's laughing. I don't know. It just was sick.
In that wedding scene, people are pulling trombones out
of their
of the
asses,
pews.
Yeah.
Like, are you?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah. And like the thing that I didn't like, and Ryan, I'm thinking maybe you didn't like either, is like it would do like it was trying to do the thing where like you see the violins pop up and like you hear the violins come in. But there was a couple times where like saxophones would pop up and like there's definitely no saxophones in this song.
Well,
like
it's like doing like a weird version. And then another thing with music is I found very interesting and weird. So the last song that plays is God Only Knows by the Beach Boys, by the most American band of all time, you know. And then there's a Which is weird for this British movie. And to me, I'm like, they couldn't get a Beatles song. So they got the most Beatles-sounding Beach Boys song. with it, basically, for that ending. Because it's like, God Only Knows is like the... And you can't get All You Need Is Love, like the real version. It's
no,
like,
we cannot.
So, I don't know.
I mean, God Only Knows is a better song
it
than
is.
All You
it's
Need
probably
Is Love.
One of the best songs ever made.
Maybe that's maybe God since they couldn't get it, maybe that's why they felt comfortable with the Ringo bashing in this movie.
that was a pro Ringo comment.
I was like, I forgot that's how this movie ended, was with God Only Knows. And I was like, you did not earn this movie.
No.
I have too much love for this song. Like, I, of course, now, sure, some of these hugging scenes feel poignant because you got the fucking
play,
one of the best love songs ever written over
it.
Threw,
like, I broke my TV when I threw, like, a tomato at it. You know?
It feels manipulative.
Of course it is.
The weird digital kind of camcorder footage is weird too. Like, I don't know. Like the
it's echoing the very sweet, nice, normal guy who was videotaping the serial killer montage of his best friend's wife.
It is, and I was watching I watched the whole credits because I realized, oh, I've seen these credits 100 times because I worked at the theater. I remember cleaning the theater and seeing and not didn't watch the movie. But I always thought it was like this weird.
You're like,
footage.
Wow, there's a lot of British people in this movie.
Well, it's just like because it has that footage throughout the whole credits because it kind of like keeps coming. It's like little spacers almost in between it. And I'm like, oh my God, I've seen these credits before. It was like a weird kind of out of body thing that happened. It was, but yeah, weird shit.
It's a weird. You know, movie. It definitely
thought,
is.
Speaking of weird, a thought just occurred to me that the girl Joanna, who Liam Neeson's stepson's in love with, she, you know, great singer, obviously, but so she's American. Was she flown in for this British Christmas recital?
Well, I
What's
think she lives in
Expat
England, but it's I think Sam, the little boy, just like. Misunderstood that she's gonna go away forever. It's like, I think she was probably just visiting America for Christmas break.
Yeah, you know how kids are, you know, like she's gonna go for
she's
forever,
going
like
back
one
to
month.
America. It's like she probably just lives in England. maybe
she has like divorced parents that are
one of her parents is American. I don't know.
I'm kind of surprised that like we didn't reveal that like her father was Billy Bob Thornton or something.
That would have. I have to go back to America to see my father, the president.
Billy Bob Thornton should have been like emotionally connected or family connected somehow to this. That would have been a good.
Oh my God. I found a fucking diagram that has like.
Yeah, I saw that diagram.
This is crazy. Yeah.
That's how I feel like if you have to make that, like if you make a diagram of your plot as an exercise, and if what you come up with is what this chart looks like, you have failed.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. But once again, like, you know, counter to Valentine's Day, where we spent, what was it like the main relationship? We spent like multiple minutes being like, oh, wait, are they siblings? Wait, are they they're not dating. So what's their relationship?
Oh, and wait, there's also that great scene where like you see basically there's like everyone's having a party and they're like, oh, a lot of people involved are going to come to this party. And then it cuts away and we never see the scene of anyone together.
Yeah, they're like, everyone's going to come to the party. And it's just like, oh, there's a couple background actors with no names.
You know
that we
what
have
it is?
Not
is
met
this movie
film.
Was probably willing to pay for those actors to be in the same room
exactly.
together. And Valentine's Day was not.
That's the thing. This movie, like I said, high highs, low lows.
Like
we can't afford. We can't afford a real Beatles song, but we can afford Joni Mitchell and the Beach Boys. And you know what?
Yeah, there is Joni Mitchell.
Where's Joni Mitchell from, too? She's Canadian. What's with the deal with, like, yeah, they're not even any
You
British
don't have to stuff. Be British. You don't have to be Canadian to love Joni Mitchell. The use of her and her voice as an older woman, too, is makes me cry. I love that song. I've looked at love from both sides now, and love actually is all around.
I don't know. I just, it was a
Can I, a random thing that I saw that I want to point out in this movie?
Please.
In one of the better storylines, the Bill Nighy kind of overarching storyline, when he, and I appreciate that. I think this might be like the one relationship in the movie that is a non-romantic relationship.
Yeah,
it's him and his manager. Like, hey, it's a friendship.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I realize you're my best friend. I'd rather spend Christmas with you.
Yeah. I keep on, you know, dumping on you and being annoying, but it's like, we've spent decades together.
You could have had an orgy at Elton John's house. And he
5 minutes at Delton's and you're gay as a maypole.
It was kind of a nice change of pace in this movie where it was just about a friendship instead of a romantic one. But one thing I want to point out, which I thought was kind of odd. So the guy, the decorum in his manager's apartment, whatever this place is,
uh-huh.
A lot of posters, you know, and it makes sense, of Billy.
Of Billy,
you know,
Bill
Nighy, like tour posters and whatnot. But in the background on its own, for some reason, there's a Jaws poster on the guy's wall.
And he likes Jaws. It's a great movie.
What does it mean?
I was thinking
was
that too, Dave.
Just
a middle-aged guy who loves Jaws.
Yeah, I was 100% had that same thought. I was hoping that there's like an implication that like one of his songs was like licensed for Jaws at some point.
Don't you remember in Jaws when they start playing Love Is All Around?
Because he's like a fictional musician, right? He's a fictional musician, so like that's like you could have fun with like the set design of like what does his career look like? What does the merch of this guy's career look
like? Yeah.
Maybe there is. That's my fan theory. Is that
remember when you directed Jaws and you pivoted to music?
my fan theory is that
such a strong cinematic
one of his
confidence.
Songs ended up on the soundtrack to Jaws.
Yeah.
I bet you wonder if, like, because the sound, there was a bunch of different songs in this thing. I wonder if that had something to do with it. This was probably, you know, toward the tail end of soundtracks still being popular and stuff like that.
Yeah, actually.
It feels like it's definitely trying to do that, too, like, to be a soundtrack.
Well, I was going to say I did own the Love Actually soundtrack for many years as a young person.
It's not a terrible soundtrack.
Kelly Clarkson's The Trouble with Love is a great soulful track.
It has some bangers on it, like for sure, like undeniable bangers.
And also the Glasgow love theme.
Unlike Ryan and Jackie, you and I believe that love is everywhere, so of course you would own the soundtrack. This makes sense.
I mean, Love Actually is all around.
Do you own the soundtrack, Dave?
I did not. I did not see this movie until much later.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, maybe I would probably wouldn't have liked it when I sort of saw it. But I think I probably would have found it things funnier. But I don't know. It's weird. Weird one. I don't know if we're winding down or not, but I wanted to make sure I read, I'll try to be quick with it, a funny Letterboxd review that I found.
Oh.
That really summed up my feelings a lot. Can I throw this up there?
Sure.
I'll try to be quick because it's kind of funny. But it's long.
Who's it from?
This is from someone, I don't know if this is the real name, but their review is from Diego Tutwheeler. And they have, and this is probably less stars than I'd give it, but they gave it half a star.
Oh, wow.
0 stars, Ryan?
No,
wow.
No.
Okay.
You're saying you'd give it more?
I'd probably give it one.
Oh, you'll give it more than half a star.
A gentleman's one
a
star.
A gentleman's one.
But, so it says, imagine, and this is, it's really summing me up, because I, realizing the humanity, that's what I was thinking about after this movie.
Oh, the humanity.
It says, imagine how it feels for a friend or a family member to recommend Love Actually to you. You've known this person for years, and you respect their opinion, so you order this thing from Netflix as soon as possible. It arrives, you place it in your DVD player, hit play, and start watching. At first, you think it's a joke. No way that this could have been a serious recommendation, right? Nobody in their right mind could enjoy this schmaltzy load of glossy corporate Christmas crap. It's like, good God, I've seen Hallmark movies with more depth than this abomination. What kind of... wait. I don't know. It basically, it goes to this film like, it's like, this film is about a heartfelt, is a Christmas card from your dentist. Perhaps they were being sarcastic and you missed it. And then it says, but then you realize that they must have actually liked this film. And then the actual moment where they begin to understand that this person you've known for most of your life has a side of them you never truly knew. It's like knowing and finding out that your best friend is a flat earther, or your grandfather is a Trump supporter, or that your uncle is dating an 18-year-old. There's nothing technically illegal about it, but you'll never be able to look at them the same way ever again. Hell, you might even be able, not even be able to talk to them. The words will stick in your throat, and you'll want to do, all you want to do is scream, you liked Love Actually? What are you, sick in the head? It just keeps going on like that. But
well, I hope you can come to respect me again at some point, Ryan.
Well, it's true.
I feel comfortable knowing that Ryan didn't respect me before watching this movie, so I didn't actually lose anything. So this is actually okay.
Yeah, Ryan, is that how you feel, or are you Diego?
The thing of like the that hits home is finding out he kind of puts into those three examples is almost like in the movie. It's like metatextual, I feel like, of like the Trump supporter, the uncle, the 18-year-old. It's not legal, but this is just strange. Yeah.
Although, I'm sorry, what year is this? You ordered this movie on Netflix through the mail? So you ordered it from the year 2003? That's incredible.
Yeah, this is kind of the end of it.
I'm poking some holes in the story.
Yeah, there are two types of people in this world. People you know, people you know what I'm talking about right here, and people who like Love Actually. And make no mistake, they're out there, man. Your best friends, your in-laws, your roommates, your cousins, aunts, nieces, parents, any of them might be a fan of this film, and someday they might slip into casual conversation as if they're recommending a brand new peanut butter or something. It truly scares me, and it should scare you too.
Well, so Ryan, I'm happy to say, if anything, now Ryan knows which of his coworkers like this film, and so
this is harsher than I thought. But I was laughing up while I was reading it, like a lot, basically, because it's so damn harsh. And so, Diego, I mean, I don't know, funny stuff. But.
Well, any other? I mean, I think Diego kind of summed up perfectly. But any other closing thoughts on Love Actually?
No, you're right. I think you talked me into some things. There's some sparks. I think watching on TV is the only way to watch it.
Watch it chopped up while you're doing some laundry or etc. You can hit mute on several storylines, but at the end of the day,
it kind of looks like Christmas, so you just don't listen to it.
It just kind of looks like Christmas, and if you tune back in when Alan Rickman's on screen, you're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I just want to shout out at the end of it all of the many sea creatures of the Nativity play.
Oh, that was funny. I'd say that's the funniest gag is like the octopus sitting in between Hugh Jackman and Monica Lewinsky.
Hugh Jackman? Prime Minister Hugh Jackman and Monica Lewinsky.
Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, the little boy dressed as an octopus.
When you said that, I'm like, was he a cameo? Was he in the audience?
No, I wish.
Hugh Grant, sorry. And,
Hugh Grant.
That was a good gag. That was a good cut. That was like the funniest like little... Oh, there's some humor. Finally,
there's some humor. I like at the beginning when Emma Thompson's kid is like, "We got our parts of the nativity play. I'm playing the lobster," and Emma Thompson's like, "The lobster, the second lobster. There was more than one lobster present at the birth of Jesus."
That's pretty good. It's funny because I just saw a video of a similar thing, and I'm wondering if they're referencing this, but they were like doing the nativity. And they were talking about that door number one or something like that. Like, I think
that's just classic. Like, oh, British fuck, thing. We got 30 kids here, and this play has 7 parts. You're a candle,
yeah,
and you are gonna be the candle's friend.
I remember I think it was first grade. I was the tornado in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's pretty rad.
Everyone's favorite.
That's a big part.
Role. Wow.
I picked up a house and like spun around the stage.
Nice.
That's cool.
I love that like elementary school age kind of thing of like, you have a very important part, and it is the mailman who comes through.
I was a lizard that put tinsel on the cactus Christmas tree.
That's so important.
Like a desert lizard.
Yeah, it was like a desert Christmas play kind of thing, and I was the lizard,
the nativity lizard.
Billy Bob, trust me, and your best friend Richard Curtis wouldn't let you wrong. You have a big role in this movie. You play the American president. He pulls a Monica Lewinsky.
He's what? Like, yeah.
Well,
trust me, it's a big role.
We need you for a day and a half of shooting.
But it's pivotal to the movie, Billy.
Well, not to like be too negative at this end here. So I was
wondering, please do. It's not a good movie.
Is there like, can we recommend maybe some other Christmas movies.
Yeah,
that
I was gonna say, as far as recommendations, like, would you recommend this movie? And if not, what else would you recommend?
I would recommend, like, you know, for my first thought was to say, like, you know, just Christmas movies, like, you know, It's a Wonderful Life or something is like probably my favorite Christmas movie, but. I think, I don't know if that like quite replaces this. Like I think, I'm just going to throw out there. I think if you want like a rom-com vibe that's sweet and does have like, kind of like divided up, stories or whatever, like an anthology kind of vibe, I would recommend like, either one of those like New York, I Love You or Paris, Je T'aime movies. I feel like,
oh yeah,
like, no, don't try Love Actually. Try this. I feel like you'd get a lot of the same beats and they're like loosely about love too, in the same way. They're not quite as Christmassy, but like, I feel like you like big cities and wintry settings feels Christmassy enough, you know?
A good pull.
Yeah, I haven't thought about those movies. I remember I really liked Paris, Je T'aime. That was a good one. I mean, not all the stories were great, but I think that, and like I said, like I, unlike this movie, those that is an anthology where each story is allowed to have a beginning, middle, and end.
Sure.
So. Yeah.
I think instead of Love Actually, watch like I've been watching 40s Christmas movies. And there's a bunch of them. There's a lot of rom-coms. They made like one a year, basically. And they're all like 85 minutes long. And watch a bunch of those. And then basically, it's like you watch Love Actually, kind of. You know, one I watched recently that I recommend is called. I didn't know of it. Was called Holiday Affair. And it's starring, you know, our boy Robert Mitchum, you know.
This literally sounds like what you would call the Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson story.
The Holiday Affair.
My review of it, that was it's basically Carol, but it's not gay. You know, it's the idea. You know, it's hetero, okay. Hetero Carol in a weird way. I don't know if you've ever seen Carol. But as you know, Robert Mitchum from The Night of the Hunter and Janet Leigh are the stars of this one. And it's basically a thing where she's like a single mom kind of thing, juggling two guys, you know, during Christmas sort of thing, juggling the it's very rom-com thing where she's the one guy that's very steady in his life. He's like a lawyer. He can give her everything she needs, but she doesn't want to change with her son.
She doesn't want something she needs. She wants something she wants.
And that's what Robert Mitchum comes into play. And she wants Robert Mitchum. So yeah. It's a good movie.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, don't say how it ends. I'm already in.
Have I ever told you about the city of Tombstone?
you know, some people get it. Oh, you know, some fair warning. It's the 40s. Sometimes people get a little handsy, but I would say all in all, it's pretty
as
good.
As you do.
Pretty good movie, I would say.
Probably as equally as problematic as this movie.
Exactly. But this, at least it's a complete story. And you know, and has Jamie's mom in it. So.
Well, Jackie, what about you?
I mean, I don't know if I can fully recommend this movie.
You have to recommend it. You have to be the one.
I can love something and know that it's not good.
Would you call this a problematic fave?
It's a problematic fave. It's a
guilty pleasure, like they say.
I do feel some guilt about it, but not enough to not, you know, watch it. Like I said, I've said it today, I've said it before, I'll go to the mat for a select number of storylines in this film, and there's others that I will never stop being mad about. So I don't recommend it, but I do love it. So, but if you want, you know, a good old fashioned, depressing as shit Christmas movie, which is my favorite kind of Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life is waiting for us, as always. And it's really it's not even a Christmas movie for most of the movie. It's just about a guy's life that sucks. Again, perfect movie.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, actually. And
incredible.
And it wasn't one I really watched young. It's kind of like in the last, I don't know, 8 years or something, 6 years.
It's,
I feel like I kind of discovered it.
That was what Love Actually and It's a Wonderful Life were, yearly favorites of my family for different reasons. And Love Actually has only gotten worse in the intervening years. And It's a Wonderful Life has only gotten better, probably because I can now relate to George Bailey giving up his dreams slowly but surely in a way that as a kid you don't really understand that. So that's that all to say, thank you for watching this problematic film fellas.
I'm really glad to check it off the list. You know, it's like I need to watch it. Maybe that's the recommendation. It's like just to see where people's heads are at in the world and to be warned, you know, about your fellow people on this earth, basically.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm the only one here that's going to wholeheartedly recommend this movie and every storyline in it.
Let's go.
Because I guess I'm the only one here that believes in love.
Damn it, I do believe in Love Actually is all around.
Let's go.
No, in all seriousness, I think I'm
in the same boat. He believes in love.
I believe.
I'm in the same boat as you, Jackie. This is definitely a problematic fave. Well, I don't know if I'd say it's a fave, but like a guilty pleasure. Like there are parts about it that definitely don't work. And I think there are some that I really do enjoy. Like we said, the Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman storyline, and a couple others. But if I'm going to recommend another movie in its place, And this touches in Christmas, When Harry Met Sally is a rom-com fave.
Yeah,
that one is a perfect New Year's Eve movie.
It's not an anthology, but it's like broken up time-wise in a way that you get some of that vibe.
That's a good recommend, Dave. You're so right. Yeah, actually, if you want to watch a good rom-com.
Oh, I mean, if we're talking like rom-coms to watch in the fall or winter, you can't go wrong with When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, Love Actually is watching When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah. Love Actually is all around.
Like I said, pair like a bunch
Is knowing when to give up on that table. Like, you know, if your husband has a table that sucks.
It looks like a wagon wheel and it's ugly as shit. And even his friend won't defend it.
What a good grouping. What's the actor again that's his buddy in that?
It is
Bruno Kirby.
Okay,
Bruno Kirby.
He has a small part in Modern Romance, the Albert Brooks movie. He's like his editor assistant because that's the. Isn't that crazy? What movies has a film editor as the main character anyway? But he's really good in that and kind of a similar type of guy, or like a good no bullshitter kind of friend. Really good friend actor.
Good friend actor. Some people are.
But.
Well, there you go. Even if you don't believe in love, there are still movies like When Harry Met Sally, Modern Romance, It's a Wonderful Life.
I don't believe in love, which is why I watch When Harry Met Sally.
You know, this movie might make you think maybe love actually doesn't exist or something.
Which is why, again, follow it up with a better movie.
So, but maybe it'll work for some people. But, I don't know. I was thinking of I never was a big Friends fan. I'm not like anti-Friends, but I was like, people that like Friends like Love Actually, I feel like.
I love Ryan, your like disdain for the fans of this movie. I feel like you're coming down harder on them than the movie itself.
I think that's really the case, I think. Sorry, and Dave.
That's okay.
I think
you need to watch It's a Wonderful Life again and get you through this slump.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think this movie like ruined you, Ryan.
I think I was a little bit in a mood because I had watched the Netflix Leave the World Behind movie before this too, and back to back I'm like, wow, huge stinkers, and I was just in a it really just set me up. I think that's part of it.
All right. Well, Ryan, why don't you put this copy of Love Actually into your Netflix envelope? We'll send it back. Get rid of it. But that's going to do it for our annual Christmas episode, guys. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I see the stage has finally been built. It's now complete. So we can have our own Christmas recital / porno shoot, you know, play here at the same time. Not sure how it's going to work out, but we'll make it work just like Richard Curtis. And
yeah, Richard Curtis did it. We can do it.
Exactly. But we got to go, guys. We got a date on the Shag Highway. We'll see you later. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy Christmas.
I can feel it in my
fingers. I feel it in my fingers. I'm feeling in my toes.
You know I love Christmas, I always will. My mind's made up the way that I feel. There's no beginning, there'll be no end. 'Cause on Christmas,
you'll come back a broken man.
Yeah, back broken from too much sex.
You are on the road to disaster.
No, I'm on Shag Highway, heading west. Farewell, failure. America, watch out!